Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Dmitri Shostakovich from his suite, The Gadfly, we heard The Romance, performed by our guest today, violinist Nicola Benedetti. Nicola Benedetti is a celebrated classical violinist, but she was always intrigued with, actually, Eric Korngold's violin concerto, and that was the impetus behind this new album, The Silver Violin. It's a silver violin for the silver screen. And from that germ of an idea, she developed a ravishing album. I just want to congratulate you on this marvelous album, The Silver Violin. It may be music of the silver screen, but to me, it was pure gold.
Oh, thank you.
What a wonderful, wonderful experience. I kind of, when I received it, thought, okay, music from the movies, and here we go again. And it's nothing like that at all. It's some of the great music from the movies, but I have to tell you, you've heard this all over. You are a marvelous artist, and the Korngold is just spectacular. And so is, I might add, the Mahler, the piano quartet in A minor. That really knocked my socks off.
It's such a piece, isn't
it?
Oh,
it's breathtaking. And to hear that, this is not the usual rundown of theme music from movies. It's, of course, you know, Schindler's List, okay. And the Korngold is marvelous as well. I know they've compared you with other violinists, but it's really a wonderful work in its own right. I think I read somewhere that you kind of started the whole idea for the album because of the Korngold.
Yes, not kind of. Just absolutely did. The idea to record the Korngold Violin Concerto began years ago when I started learning and performing the piece. I mean, I always had a very strong feeling about that concerto, not just my take on its interpretation and how I felt physically playing the piece, but I always had just a notion, like a sense that it could open doors to a very intriguing project. So when we actually got round to putting this project together, it was all centered around and inspired by Korngold Violin Concerto. And in actual fact, the original idea was just to do a Korngold disc.
Yes, but it's been done so much, I guess.
Through such a varied life and traveled life and writing in such a vibrant time, both. You know, being really at the cusp of the beginning of film music turning into its own art form, an incredibly rich art form, but also the music scene that he grew up in and left behind in Vienna. I mean, both worlds are just so packed full of substance. And so he, because of that variety, lends himself to so many different options in terms of pairings and in terms of themes or concepts. But I just felt that this was an opportunity not to be missed, to really tap into what is a lot of people's first exposure to instrumental music. And to fill the disc with, I mean, like you said, it is not a collection of theme tunes, like my top 15 theme tunes from albums. problems from films.
It's not.
No, it's really centered around an historic view and a very sort of well researched idea, not just music that's originally written for film, but also classical music that was featured in film, and that's obviously where the Mahler comes in, and a composer like Shostakovich.
It's devastating, the Mahler and the Shostakovich. I mean, well, I think I just sat there. I said, "What is this?" You know, it's a marvelous ensemble that you have as well. We've just heard music by Gustav Mahler, which was used actually for a horror movie called Shutter Island. He was in the process of writing a piano quartet, but he never completed it. This is the first movement, the piano quartet in A minor, and it's the only surviving piece of chamber music that he wrote that does not use voice. We heard a performance with Alexei Grinuk, piano, Tom Dunn, viola, Leonard Elsenbroich, cello, and Nicola Benedetti, our guest today, violin. Again, the Korngold Concerto, again, that was music of Juarez, I think, or the music Anthony Adverse and Elizabeth and Essex, all of that. But I wonder if Korngold really wrote that initially for the films or if that was his idea of writing a concerto.
Well, he did. He didn't write it for a film, but he a lot of the thematic material is taken from film scores. He started the concerto and was probably working on it throughout the period of time that he had vowed to abandon writing for the concert platform altogether. Obviously, going through an incredibly traumatic time, being unable to return home and so far away from home, longing for a home and knowing and hearing secondhand that it was being invaded and destroyed. And that manifested itself in him taking the decision to distance himself from everything that he associated with home and with Germany and Austria and
the
countries
horrors that were going
had,
on, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. In the Second World War. He really, I think it was too painful for him to continue writing in that style. So it wasn't until 1945, when the war ended, that he returned to writing concert music at all. But of course, with all his experience and the years he had spent in Hollywood, his style had changed hugely. And after returning to Austria, a lot of his music had been not only neglected, but was shunned. And
yes,
he had an incredibly difficult time. But thanks to the wonderful violinist Jascha Heifetz, this concerto had some incredible premieres. Of course, Heifetz recorded it twice, and some premieres were received in the States very positively and some not so positively. But
it's relatively recent. I mean, of course, the themes from the movies have been played, but I think the Korngold Concerto per se as an entity unto itself has emerged kind of within the last maybe 15 or 20 years, maybe even that's all, as a piece to be played by serious violinists, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would say even less time. I would
maybe
say
15 years.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I would say, yeah. The violinists like like Kavakos, like Anna Sophie Mutter, I'm trying to think of some others, they recorded it a good time ago. But I would say in this last maybe 7 years, a whole host of sort of younger and mid-generation soloists have chosen to play that work. But what always really amuses me is that it somehow fell, I think it fell out of popularity, as did a lot of his music, possibly more for political reasons than for anything else, as did so much music written by Jewish composers around that time.
We've just heard the final movement of Eric Wolfgang Korngold's Violin Concerto in D Major, performed by our guest today, Nicola Benedetti, violinist, with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Kirill Karabits. And he was
considered a prodigy. I mean, I think he wrote a ballet at the age of 12, something like that.
Oh,
he's brilliant.
The amount of repertoire, and not just amount, but the quality of repertoire he wrote before the age of 20 is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, numerous operas and anybody that's called a genius by Mahler when you're 9 years
yes,
old,
exactly.
you have to take seriously. That's what always really amuses me, is there's this sort of snobbery towards Korngold sometimes. I mean, anybody is entitled to it. To their own taste, of course. You can listen to something and choose to like it or not to like it, but when so many great musicians and the entire musical empire of Germany and Austria at that time was I mean, Korngold was, I think, the second most popularly performed composer, second to Strauss. I mean, musicians and orchestras and music societies loved his work and championed it, as have, you know, so many musicians since. And I always think that's a very, it should be a good guide as to whether the music is of great quality or not.
Well, Schrecker was another one that was completely destroyed, you know, at that time. But that's certain. It's mm-hmm. the Romantic period. And of course, again, your playing is, I don't want to use the word passionate. It's very passionate, but it's also so exquisitely, there's a delicacy. I mean, when you're playing your beautiful legato passages, these thematic material that just, you have a marvelous interpretation. Again,
I have to say,
I was so blown away by the album, by everything. And the Marietta's lead, forget it. I mean,
That'll kill you anyway, but
that is magnificent. So once again, this is really, you do get the feeling, as I said, I was much of a snob when I got it. I said, oh gosh, movie music again. And I love the Schindler's List theme, but the Korngold is marvelous. And of course, I like the Gardel. That's fun.
It's fun. That had to, you know, the idea to put that in was just a nod towards most people's idea. Well, not just a nod towards Al Pacino, but a nod towards most people's idea that film is entertainment. I mean, I would like to see it as a more of a sort of enriching art form and taken more seriously than a lot of the time it is.
Well, tango should also be taken more seriously.
And tango,
I'm a tango buff, and of course, Gardel.
Tango is
brilliant.
A serious thing.
Oh,
yes.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. So that was sort of my feeling. I actually suggested that to my record company. Very, very late on in the process, we were done and dusted with what was going to go on the disc, and then at the last minute, I sort of said, "Let's just have something that is." Of an entirely different character.
Well, you'll have to attack Morricone the next time. I mean,
yes, yeah, absolutely.
And...
music of Carlos Gardel is arranged by John Lenihan. We heard Por Una Cabeza from the film Scent of a Woman. Nicola Benedetti and Alexander Sitkovetsky violins. Leonard Elsenbroich cello. Senya Sidorova accordion and Alexei Grinyuk piano. Yeah. But again, Nicola, I have to say I was very so deeply, deeply moved by this. Not only, it's not the film aspect of it; it's the musical aspect, the mm-hmm. beauty of the performances, mm-hmm. your compatriots, and of course the Bournemouth Symphony. Now you are very much beyond above and beyond being just a marvelous performer and a great musician. You're very active in this El Sistema thing that happened in Venezuela. You have one in Scotland, is that right?
That's right. They've been going for 5 years, so a relatively young organization in comparison to Venezuela, which has been up and running for 40 years. But they're doing incredibly well. They have 450 children in one small town in Scotland learning to play. They have hours and hours of training per week and improving greatly. And they're just about to start a second centre in the Glasgow area, which will prove to be another set of challenges altogether, with all sorts of... I think there's like 40 languages spoken in the area that we're moving into. But the program is that they have an incredible chairman, an incredible director, and it's really an honor to work with them. I just try to pass on all the information I have been fortunate enough to receive during my lifetime.
Well, and again, quickly, how old were you when you started playing the violin?
I was 4 years old.
Four. So you yes. showed tremendous talent at that time?
Well, I'm not sure about those first 6 months. I think everyone sounds pretty rough playing the violin at the beginning.
Now, a quickie. How was it appearing with Craig Ferguson? What did you play on that?
We played the tango for that. That was them. We were originally going to play the Schindler's List or one of the other sort of themes from the film from the disc. But they have obviously an extremely upbeat, comical show, and he's just hysterical.
He's funny. Yeah, he's wonderful.
They really wanted something a little bit more upbeat, and I was unbelievably honored to have the concertmaster and principal cellist of the LA Philharmonic play with me.
Yes.
And an entirely sort of live setup with a wonderful accordion player and pianist, and it was actually a lot of fun. And considering you know, those things really are very much entertainment, I would say we all had an enjoyable musical experience, which was unexpected.
Yes.
And it was great. It was great fun. I would do it again. Absolutely.
You have to have fun. But again, I must say that when I sat down and listened to this entire album, what I saw were those signposts of the great music that you really wanted to play. And then you kind mm-hmm. of surrounded it with other, mm-hmm. you know, approachable and moving, you know, pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a conscious decision. Like the Schindler's List and the Schindler's List theme and Ladies in Lavender and
beautiful.
Other those pieces were I had to include the most obvious examples of the violin in capturing the emotion of a film, because to call it the Silver Violin and to for it to make the journey from Mahler to Shostakovich mm-hmm. to Korngold and to today's world, you know, it would almost seem too deliberate and strange to miss out those pieces. And actually, once I began to interpret them and play them, I enjoyed that so hugely. And the Eastern Promises soundtrack, written
yes.
by Howard Shore,
marvelous.
I actually did the original soundtrack for that, so that was all also an immediate must to be on there, and it is an incredible skill. I mean, it truly is to capture such a complexity of characters as he has done in Eastern Promises, and to do it so effectively and to write so well for the violin. So yeah, all of that sort of posed a different challenge to me in terms of interpreting it, but was very. It was a learning curve.
One of the most important composers of film music today is Howard Shore. We've just heard excerpts from the film Eastern Promises, performed by Greg Knowles on the cimbalom and members of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, and our guest today, Nicola Benedetti.
Well, I think, too, there's a difference in writing for film now. At the time when Korngold came over, of course, that was a real mecca for everyone that was fleeing from the Nazis. So Hollywood was really a marvelous place. But they were mostly like composers, let's put it that way. And then they kind of suited it to film and to action and so on. Now I think it's really strictly written for the films. I think the approach is very different.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I got a huge ear and eye full of that when I recorded the soundtrack for Eastern Promises with Howard Shore, just to view the process. I mean, it's a really extraordinary process that
very difficult,
very specific. Howard is constantly talking about the discipline of film composers, of the art form of writing for film.
Writing and snatches of music, basically.
Absolutely. That discipline has to be so uncompromising. And it's extremely, extremely complicated. And he was talking about, like, you know, when you put together the sort of combination of the different themes, and you write it for the soundtrack disc, not to actually go in the film, that it's almost like a weight lifted off your shoulders. It's sudden luxury to be able to add what you want to each theme and develop the music in the way that you want to. You're not, you know, restricted by the unbelievable constrictions from the film and the moving picture.
So, it's also a very different experience for you as a musician, I think, when you have that complete thing that you have to play, and then you're kind of looking at it in a way. It's not in snatches anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. But I really made a very conscious decision not to. It wasn't like I went to see some films and was thinking, you know, what music do I think works best in film. I tried to pick pieces that withstand being alone and being without a picture and being without any other kind of, you know, inspiration. You listen to them in isolation, and it's satisfying as it stands alone.
Will you be performing in concert within the next year or so in the States at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, I performed the Dallas Symphony last month, and I'm coming back to perform with Indianapolis and Pittsburgh symphonies in the next 2 months.
What are you going to be playing?
Don't you know yet? Oh my god! I think I'm playing Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, possibly not in both. It could be Tchaikovsky and then Shimonovsky in Indianapolis.
I could
possibly be wrong because they are a few months away, but I think that's the repertoire.
And quickly, your background. Where did you study for the audience?
I studied in Scotland, where I'm from, till the age of 10. And then I went to the Yehudi Menuhin School from the age of 10 to 15 and have studied with various teachers in London and in Europe since then, privately.
So you are really the great new, it's not new, I guess, for you, but it's certainly for the entire world. You have really broken through with this amazing album, and we look forward to your next one. And I just wish you the best of luck. A delight speaking with you, and once again, thank you
so
for this
much.
This beautiful gift.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
A
wonderful
pleasure
to speak to you. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. We've been speaking today with violin virtuoso Nicola Benedetti, who has just released a new album, The Silver Violin. It's not a run of the mill movie music album, and she's joined by members of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra and fellow musicians. Finally today, we listen to one of the favorites from Die Tote Stadt by Erich Wolfgang Korngold, Marietta's Lied, Glück, das mir verblieb, performed here by Nicola Benedetti and Ensemble. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group, Incorporated. Thanks for listening.